Campaign financing and calls for reform resurfaced as an issue at the end of the recent presidential campaign. Commentator Reuven Frank says the problem isn't just where all the money comes from, but how it is spent.
Although we already knew how a new U.S. senator must spend part of every day of the next 6 years raising money for his re-election, how lobbyists for banks chip in at fundraisers for members of the banking committee and those for agribusiness shell out for members of the agriculture committee, 1996 brought home as never before how democracy is being undermined by the ballooning cost of getting elected. No one says what donors expect in return, but the folk wisdom insists it must be something. That is why most talk will center, as it has already even on NPR, on raising the money. How much, who gives it, in what form. Limits, called caps, will be proposed for donated funds. Lobbyists, foreign and domestic, will be denounced. Paying for elections out of taxes will be suggested. These have all been tried before, and been thwarted before, because money also buys ingenuity, which always finds new ways. After some of Richard Nixon's associates went to prison for raising campaign funds illegally, a new law set new rules. The new rules produced new deceptions, like soft money, money technically given not to a candidate, but to a party or a cause. Nothing will work until the talkers forget how money is raised and turn to how it is spent, why it is needed. The biggest expenditures and the fastest growing are on television, on buying television time, on producing commercials, on organizing focus groups to determine what would make those commercials hit home, on paying the consultants to hire the experts to organize the focus groups to identify what would make the commercials work, and so on through the whole debasing process. Banning political advertising from television could thus truly slash the cost of running for office. It might even make elected officials less beholden to those special interests people are always talking about. Also, it might create a First Amendment problem. But the Supreme Court has placed broadcasting outside full First Amendment protection. Some of us find its reasoning specious, but this time, bad law may make a good case. When the First Amendment issue was raised about Congress's ban on TV cigarette advertising, the ban was sustained. If cigarettes, why not politicians? Since givers will still have their reasons for giving, the money may keep coming anyway, but what might they spend it on? Printed advertising, mailings, telephone banks? A campaign needs them all, but none has television's impact, or its subtlety, or potential for abuse. Banning political commercials also avoids the dilemma that political systems can be changed only by those who now benefit from them. Legislators are reluctant to vote themselves out of office, as, for example, by enacting term limits. This is no such threat. Besides, no congressman likes fundraising. In their better moments, they consider themselves sentinels of the republic. Besides, stopping TV advertising does not benefit challengers. So, maybe. How would politicians spread their legitimate message without TV commercials? They would surely find a way.
Reuven Frank is a former president of NBC News.